Hello, and welcome to Behind the Business, a podcast where we talk to Hot Springs business owners and managers about their business. Each Monday, we go inside the business to get a unique perspective on the challenges and opportunities businesses face today. My name is James Lee, and we're broadcasting from the Razorback Camper Sales Studio. Thanks for joining us today. All right, I'd like to welcome Kelly Bell with KB Entertainment to the podcast. Kelly, tell me a little bit about what you do, because I know you said that it's pretty much anything involving music, but expand upon that a little bit.
Yeah, so I started out booking bands. That's how KB Entertainment started, and it kind of graduated. I'm also a vocalist, so I sing, and one of our sound guys for my band asked me to come do a karaoke show for him. I had absolutely no idea how to run sound, to do karaoke. I had no idea how to do any of it. He said, oh, I got you. Don't worry about it. So I showed up. He showed me how to do it two times and then just left me. And it blew up from there. I do things a little different with the way I do karaoke. So I attract a lot of the younger crowd and, you know, things like that. But yeah, I do weddings, DJing. I do any kind of corporate events, private events. And everybody's like, oh, you have karaoke for weddings? Believe it or not, it's pretty big. But no, I DJ the weddings. But I can do karaoke. But it goes beyond that. We started doing music bingo, and that became a really big hit for some events and stuff. And it's basically just bingo, and you get a bingo card, except that I just play like little snippets of music, and you have to mark out if the song's on your paper and stuff. It can be done for any theme, any type of event. So it's been a lot of fun doing that too. But yeah, literally just music.
Yeah.
Not all of the music.
So you're not from around here.
No.
I think you told me that you came up because of Ida. So tell me a little bit about, you know, about your move up here and how things have been going so far.
So it's been different. I came from New Orleans, and like I said, I really blew up for a while out there. I was almost every single night booked with something, and sometimes double booked, but it's the city that never turns off. So, right. You know, I'm used to that. And up here has been a lot slower and everybody likes their local people already. So trying to get my foot in the door anywhere has been a little rough, but I will say I filled in a couple of shows last year at Magic Springs for a couple of their, I want to say it was a Halloween thing for the kids, and they called and hired us back for like 30 more shows this year. They absolutely loved me.
Awesome.
But I do try to, you know, if it's kids involved, I always try to be involved. I don't just show up and play music, you know. I try to be involved and goof off and dance with everyone and get other people involved as well. But other than that, yeah, I've got some weddings up here and things. I've been trying to do some fill-in stuff for other DJs when they need it, but it's been a little slower out here.
Yeah. So how did you get started to begin with? Because, you know, you said you're a vocalist, but you started out kind of, you know, booking bands. So tell me a little bit about that.
So this is as random as it gets. I'm actually a paralegal, and I was at Tulane for paralegal studies. And there was an older gentleman in one of the classes with me, and it was just, it was really odd. I was trying to figure out, like, hey, why are you here? You know, and this is a long time ago. But he said, oh, well, yeah, I was just kind of bored, and I needed some legal documents drawn up, and I didn't feel like paying an attorney. So I came and decided, I said, you probably spent more in tuition than you would have for those legal documents. But it turned out he owned an orchestra. And he taught me a lot of things. It's just in life. He's a really great guy. It's the Jimmy Maxwell Orchestra in New Orleans. He's been all over the world, played for presidents. You know, I mean, he's a really good guy. But he got me started really singing with him, and then also was charging as the DJ for the band as well. So I would show up and I'd be double booked. I'd be singing when it was time to sing and also playing all the DJ stuff. But again, it really was just chance that I got thrown into it. I did paralegal work most of my life, and I have a 10-year-old little boy who has special needs. And after he was born, I realized I couldn't really work a day job. So my husband worked during the day, and I would work at night with the DJing and stuff. And it's really worked out well for us. So that's how it all got started. And I've kind of moved away from the band booking just because I've moved up here, and I don't really have any bands up here, but I've done that for 15 years, I guess.
Right. So, you know, what is it that you enjoy about doing this? Because obviously, like you said, you've been doing this for 15 plus years. You've got to enjoy it to some extent, or you wouldn't keep doing it, especially after moving up here and essentially having to restart your life over.
It's honestly amazing. Music connects people in ways that a lot of other things can't. So, you know, you get to DJ somebody's wedding. Like, that's the start of their life together. You get to play at somebody's, you know, 60th anniversary party. It's just, it's really awesome. You get to meet the most amazing people. And you get a feel for who people are through music, too. You know, what kind of music they like. And one of the biggest things that I've realized over the last few years is doing the karaoke stuff. You know, a lot of people are like, oh, she's a KJ. She just does karaoke. And even my dad, I laugh because he's a pastor. He's never been out to any of the bars or anything like that, you know, to see the shows and all. And he just didn't really get it. It was, you know, he's like, it's just karaoke. I don't understand why people are so obsessed with it. But when I moved, I've had so many people tell me, I can't afford therapy. Karaoke is my therapy. You've changed my life. Like, just all these things, you know. And like I said, I don't just show up and play music. I try to get everybody involved. And I genuinely care about all the people that come out. They're not just a singer in a queue, you know. And it's really showed. And like I said, the last few years, people have really just come out and told me all, like, you guys gave me the confidence to do this. And, you know, you've helped me through all these things. And I'm like, I'm just a girl with a microphone doing my job. Like, but it does. It makes you feel really good that you can provide that to people, you know?
Yeah. So what is it that, you know, makes what you do different from, you know, say, you know, your standard karaoke?
I'm going to cause some controversy here. Nobody hate me. No, I have made it a point. I used to go to karaoke shows just to go sing and stuff. And like I said, I'm a vocalist. So I would show up and a lot of people just crank up the volume and crank up that echo. And that's how you sound. Mm-hmm. You know, being somebody that has been on stage and been singing for a long time, I want to sound like I'm on stage and actually singing well, you know. And I want people to sound like that, too. I want to give the chance to the rest of the people. Because if we could all sing amazingly, then karaoke wouldn't be fun anyway. But I have met some amazing singers. Mm-hmm. And I've also met some people that were terrified to sing, but gained their confidence. And so I'm constantly adjusting sound. I'm constantly, like, I don't want to throw just echo on everybody. I want people to actually sound good and feel confident in what they're doing. I want it to sound on stage how I would want it to sound if I was singing. Right. So I do that. And I also don't do a lot of the older karaoke hosts will do just strict rotations. Like, you're sign up and you're just going to be behind this person, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. I refuse to do rotations. A lot of older people do not like me because they're used to that. You know, they want that rotation. They know when they're coming. I focus more on making sure everybody gets a chance to sing, whether a new person walks in or not. But I also focus on the music flow. So, you know, I'm not going to put a screamo song right next to a ballad just because they're signed up right after each other. You know, that's not going to work. That's going to be ridiculous. So I try to make it flow. I also, if we have crowded nights, I do not play music in between unless people request like a dance song or something, because people are there to sing, you know, and nobody wants to have to sit there and wait extra to hear music and stuff. So it's not a whole different concept. It's just, I took all the things that I hated about going to sing karaoke and waiting forever and all that, and kind of flipped it all on its head.
Yeah. So you kind of take karaoke and DJ and mixing it together to where it's more of a cohesive show than just, you know, you're next, you're next, you're next.
Yes. And I throw jokes in there. You know, we always, back in New Orleans, my best friend, she's going to hate me for this. She's a terrible joke teller. Terrible. She loves her dad jokes, but she gets them wrong all the time. But we would always do jokes with Jewel in between things, and she would tell her terrible jokes. And, you know, I've made it a thing even here where if someone changes their song after they come up and it's their turn to sing, if they're like, oh, can I sing this instead? Yeah, but it's going to take me a second to get that loaded up, so you have to tell a joke now. So, you know, like, I make people interact a little more than just coming up and singing, too.
Right.
I also make sure and tell people how to hold the microphone and explain what not to do. That way, I can make them sound the best that they're going to sound, you know? I throw trivia questions in there, just random funny stuff, you know? And when I first started, I'll tell you, I was terrified to talk on the microphone because I thought everything I said was just stupid. Like, what? Why would I say? I don't have anything to say.
Right.
And now I talk so much on the microphone and everyone's like, oh, you should just be a radio host because you just talk and talk and I don't even know what I'm saying half the time. I just talk. Just talk.
Yeah. So with karaoke, there tends to be, at least from my experience, two camps. You've got the classic rock and older, and then the modern stuff. Well, and then sometimes you've got country. Because, I mean, this is the South, so you're always going to have country. But do you kind of have a mix of everything, or?
So, here's one thing that I love about karaoke. You will see someone get up, and you're thinking that they're going to sing this classic rock song, and mm-hmm. they wind up singing a rap song or something. Like, you just never know what kind of music. And so I also, one of the things that I like to do is, if I do get some regulars that I know are going to be coming out a lot, I'll start, like, anything I listen to, if it kind of reminds me of their voice a little, even if it's not their style or genre or whatever, I'll send them a message and be like, hey, you should learn this song, you know, try this song out. So I try to suggest some different stuff, too. Some of our people have just the widest range of genres that they can do. It amazes me. It really does. And, you know, a lot of people don't like going to karaoke because they think it's all going to be, oh, these terrible people that can't sing.
Right.
And of course, there are some people that can't sing. It's karaoke.
Mm-hmm.
But they're having fun and they're doing it. And I love it. Like, people are like, how do you handle people that can't sing? I'm like, they're having fun. You know, that's literally the only reason we're here. We're just here to have fun.
Right.
This is not you're not paying to see this show. This is fun.
Yeah. You mentioned earlier, you know, karaoke at weddings. You know, have you done much of that? Because I do know that tends to have become a little bit more popular here in the last, you know, 5 or 10 years.
I've done probably 4 weddings that have had karaoke. It doesn't always go well.
Right.
People tend to get drunker at weddings than they would anywhere else. But for the 4 that I've done have been very fun. I mean, it's been decent. It kind of takes the pressure off of having to get up and dance and, you know, all that stuff at the end of the night. And it's usually a progression. We'll start out DJing, do all of our, you know, regular dances that the bride and groom want to do and do a little bit of dance music and stuff. And then we'll kind of usher it into karaoke. And it's fun because a lot of people are, you know, I would never get up and sing. I would never get up and sing. But once a couple people do it, it opens the door. And once you get that first time out, you're going to be hooked. Like, it really is so much fun.
Yeah.
Tune in to Check Out, the Garland County Library's new podcast every Friday for all things library. Being the state's first lending library since 1833, we are your connection point for the information you need, including books, movies, music, and much more. Find out more at gclibrary.com.
So, we spent a lot of time talking about the karaoke, but you said you also do a lot of DJ type stuff as well. Tell me a little bit about that and you know, how you're able to, you know, kind of tailor things to the mood that you're getting from your crowd. Because, you know, you might go in with this idea and then 20 minutes later you're like, no, this is not working.
I have been to shows where DJs have been playing and they literally just show up with what they were going to play and that's what they're going to play.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why I did really well in New Orleans is I don't do that. I show up with a general list of music, look around the room, see who's there, you know, try a couple of different genres thrown in there and kind of see how it's going to work. One thing I always laugh about, I have severe ADHD, and one of my really annoying superpowers, I call it, is I can hear every conversation happening in a room, and it drives me bonkers. Mm-hmm. But it's great for DJing.
Oh, absolutely.
Because if I play a song and I hear someone say, oh, this reminds me of this, well, then I know I can play that. And, oh, remember this song? So I kind of can pick up all these different suggestions without anybody actually coming up to suggest anything. And then it's, oh, we were just talking about that song. That's so cool. So I kind of do it that way. But again, I mean, you can get a feel for what's going. Now, I have had nights where there is just nothing. I've played everything from Eminem to Prince to whatever in between, and literally got no response. People just sat there, and it's so disheartening. Like, when I hear music of any kind, I can't not move. You know, I have to move a little bit, and I can't dance to save my life. But, like, when you just watch people just sitting there, and it's like, oh, come on, man.
Yeah.
So there have been times where it hasn't, you know, things just don't always work out perfectly. But for the most part, I mean, it's just reading the room and constantly making sure that you've got enough music to cover it. I mean, I did Hot Springs High School. We did a, I guess it was their Valentine's dance, and I had no idea what to expect going in there as far as what they were going to want to listen to. So I had gotten quite a few songs, and I let them request, which was fun. So I learned a lot of new music that night. But, you know, it's just constantly having to sometimes look up lyrics and make sure mm-hmm. that they're appropriate, and, you know, just constantly adjusting really is what it is.
Yeah. So when it comes to DJing, a lot of people tend to think about the old style DJ. You just come in, you play a track, you know, whatever, maybe do a little talk in between, something like that. Then, you know, you've also got the, you do your mixtapes and stuff like that. Do you do any of that, or is it pretty much just...
No, I... So I don't even bring, like, a turntable. They do have digital turntables that I'm on out. One of the programs that I use actually has the turntables on the program, and I have a touchscreen computer, so people laugh all the time and try to come up and, like, scratch on the computer. Doesn't sound great. But no, more of my style is just, I'll mix some music as far as, like, trying to get a song that I think sounds ridiculously awesome with another song, you know, mm-hmm. and I'll kind of go back and forth. But I don't mix as much. I normally just play the music and make sure I've got a flow going, you know.
Right.
And that's another thing when you are DJing somewhere, especially weddings. I always ask the bride, you know, do you want requests? Because a request can mess up the entire wedding mm-hmm. if it's something that someone insists on listening to, and it has nothing to do with what we're trying to vibe, you know.
Right.
So sometimes requests get thrown in there, and I have to figure out, how in the world am I going to make this work? Because mm-hmm. I hate to tell people no if, you know, it's something they really want to hear, but sometimes people don't realize what they want to hear. It's not what anyone else wants to hear.
Right, right. You don't want to be playing, you know, Bob Seger and stuff like that, and someone come up and say, hey, let's play some Blackstreet or Eminem.
Or Pantera, or, you know, I mean, it's, yeah, you have, they can be thrown in there.
Oh, yeah.
But there needs to be a flow, and that's kind of what I try to do, is just make sure it flows. Because karaoke is the same way. I mean, mm-hmm. you never know what people are going to sing.
Right.
So trying to get some kind of a flow out of that type of up and down, what in the world's happening with this music tonight, you know. It's just about paying attention and putting a little effort in.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned that you have kids. When you've got your husband working days, you're working nights, you know, that can be a strain at times. You know, how do you kind of find that work-life balance? And I'm not trying to pry, just, you know, it's hard. I mean, even if you've got two people who are working days, it can be hard when you've got young children, especially with some that have special needs. You know, how do you kind of find that balance?
We've struggled with that, honestly. When we were in New Orleans, he worked shift work, so it was off and on. He, mm-hmm. you know, it was a crazy schedule. But you just got to make time for each other, which we've been terrible at. But yeah. You got to make time for each other. And honestly, that is one thing that is rough with DJing. Mm-hmm. And I've had to get across, you know, especially it seems out here. a lot of people have, oh, well, my friend can come do it for $50 and my friend can come do this. And, you know, I've had to really step back and say, okay, well, I'm not your friend. I know what I'm worth. Mm. And I have three kids at home that I'm paying a babysitter for if I have to. So, you know, I'm not going to come out for $50. I'm not going to come out for a little bit of money. This is my price. This is what it's going to be. And if you don't like it, then I'm sorry. I can't do it. You know, and it has hindered me a little bit mm-hmm. in some of the work. You know, I have to always tell people I'm not a middle-aged guy that just wants to hang out at the bar. Right. And that's what a lot of them are, is, you know, is just people that want to be out anyway. I'd rather be home, you know?
Right, right.
This is actually my job. And I love my job and I love what I do and I enjoy entertaining other people, but it's not for free. And, you know, it's trying to balance that. And then, you know, I also get booked almost every holiday, mm-hmm. every weekend. So I do, unfortunately, wind up missing a lot of things.
Right.
Family-wise. And that does suck. But I'm trying, you know.
Yeah. You brought up a good point, you know, how you know what you're worth. To be honest, it's almost like an art form, you mm-hmm. know, because it's not just getting out there and throwing down a song and, you know, waiting and just seeing where you go from there. It's you're constantly, you know, listening and changing, and you know what you may have planned two songs ago is completely different direction from where you ended up going.
Yeah, well, like you said, with the art form, I mean, it really is true. People nowadays think, oh, well, that's too expensive for a DJ. I'll just throw an iPod on, or I'll just throw my phone on Spotify. And then you quickly realize that that's not the same.
Right.
Yeah, there's some good music that's going to come on, but there's no flow to it. There's no, you know, you can't really change it without having to go and put specific songs in there anyway. So when you're hiring a DJ or a KJ or whatever it's for, you are hiring someone to do a job. It's not just to show up and play music. And that's one thing we have run into in the last few years since COVID, really, is, you know, prices have gone up on everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so DJs have had to raise their prices. You know, gas is expensive and all the equipment is expensive and time is expensive. Like, so raising your prices, even just a tiny bit as a DJ, it offends people for some reason. And it's so frustrating because it's like, dude, you know, eggs went up in price and
right.
you still need that. You still need your music, you know, and we have to pay for things. So I'm not trying to price gouge you. I'm just trying to stay afloat here.
Right.
I couldn't tell you any of the DJs that I know or anything that are rolling in money. It's just, that's not what we do it.
Right.
You know, it's not for all the money. It's because we love it.
Right. You know, and the last thing I was wanting to ask you about is, you know, when you're doing something like this, it's performance, you know, and there are some times that you just don't feel it. You know, you may have a cold, you just don't feel it. How do you get past that? Because that's, you know, that's tough.
It is tough. It is very tough. And I will say, I told you I've been doing this for about 15 years. There has only been maybe I can count on one hand the amount of shows that I've had to cancel just because I was either just too sick or just not in the right headspace or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
My father put in my head at a very young age, doesn't matter what you do, do it well. And so I've done that in every job that I've ever had, paralegal work, legal work, any of that stuff, all the way down to DJing, you know, and like I said, a lot of people can just show up, play some songs. That's what they're getting paid for. Mm-hmm. That's it. But that's not enough. Like, you know, you have to make people have fun. You're literally being paid to entertain people.
Right.
And so I put 110% into that, you know, and it doesn't matter how I feel. I'm still there to make people have fun. So that show might look a little different than mm-hmm. one of my best performances, but I'm still going to put everything I've got into it. So.
Right. All right. Well, I appreciate you coming on the podcast. So how can somebody get in touch with you?
So the best way to get in touch with me is honestly through Facebook. You can look me up on Facebook. It's Kelly Bell, K-E-L-L-E-E, Bell. There's also a KB Entertainment page on Facebook, and there's also a Karaoke with Kelly Facebook page. I run all of them. There's actually more. I also have, like, makeup parties and stuff that we do on, you know, and music bingo parties and all of that stuff, craft parties, that I kind of tie into everything as well. But everything is based, honestly, through those kind of three. The Karaoke with Kelly, KB Entertainment, and my personal page is, honestly, the best way to get in touch with me. So,
yeah. All right. Sounds good. Well, thank you so much. And, you know, I wish you the best. I mean, things, you know, we're finally out of the pandemic, so things, people seem to be going back out and having fun.
Yep, they seem to. Hopefully, I'll get some good stuff going here.
Thank you for joining me for this episode of Behind the Business. New episodes are released each Monday from the Razorback Camper Sales Studio. Thanks for listening.
Hey, podcast listeners. We've got a special deal just for you, $4.99 for 2 months, and it includes all of our digital access. I'm talking about all of our online content, our daily news clips, our puzzle library, and so much more. This is valid for new subscriptions only, so if you've been waiting to try it out, now's the time. Visit the link, hotsr.com/podcast23 to get this great deal.